ースベイダーの反撃で再び始まる壮大な宇宙のロマン、スターウォーズ。あの大冒険は終わっていなかった。全世界の注目を集め、シリーズ第2弾、スターウォーズ帝国の逆襲。
96 of Blast Points is Jason.
And it's Gabe.
And this week, we are finally talking all about the Japanese George Lucas commercials from the late 1980s. You know that we love these. We've talked about them a little bit before. I think we've talked about them a lot before.
Definitely more than once we've talked about them.
But weirdly, we've never dedicated a whole episode to these incredible, incredible commercials. And we're not doing it alone this week. We are joined once again by our Star Wars Celebration Europe partner, Silver, aka Star Wars Thrifting. And we are so thrilled to be joined by her, quote, perpetual plus one sister, Miranda Silver. Miranda, welcome back. Welcome to Blast Points.
Hello.
Well,
thank you for having us.
We are so happy to be here. It's like we're back at the Bad Batch premiere. Just us sitting in that theater in those four chairs. I mean,
just getting to know each other. Me anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Thank you so much for having us. We're so excited. I'm really excited to be doing this with my sister. I'm actually...
Yeah, plus one is honored to be here.
Yeah, so... yeah, this is pretty amazing. So, yeah, thank you so much for having us. I can't believe it's been a whole year since Star Wars Celebration, since we did that thing at home. I mean, like, what's even time anymore?
I know, it's crazy. And there's, like, more stuff going on now than there was... than we knew last year, like, to look forward to, like, because now this, we're recording this in, like, what, Tales of the Empire is going to be coming out now to just...
Yeah, the Acolyte is around the corner, like, you know, it's crazy.
Like, it's shaping up to be literally the busiest May the 4th ever, because it's like, there's going to be Phantom Menace in theaters with Acolyte. Like, Silver, you're driving from Northern California to the El Capitan Theater in Los Angeles for Phantom Menace. Is that on Friday or is that on May the 4th on Saturday?
No. So, yeah. So I'll be going to El Capitan, not May the 4th. I'll be going for Revenge of the 5th.
Revenge of the 6th.
Yeah. I'll be going for on Sunday. Well, because it was, I already have tickets for that Friday here. But also... that Saturday, they're not showing it on Saturday because they're going to be actually doing the marathon at El Capitan on Saturday, which they have not really promoted. Strangely enough, I found out because I called because I wanted to know if they were going to have, you know, if they were going to have it on. I just want to know, like, how long was that display? Because El Capitan, for those who don't know, they're going to be having a display Phantom Menace, like costumes and props and stuff. That's why I want to go. So I called and I said, well, do you guys have a showing on Saturday? And they said, no, because they're going to do the movie marathon for all the Star Wars films that Saturday.
Ooh.
Which, my, you know, that sounds great, but my that body, my, my body, yeah. My body's telling me to, like, my body's saying, I don't think so.
Yeah.
So, but instead, I rather, let's put my body through this. How about I drive, you know, close to 5 hours to LA to watch, sit down in a movie theater, and then drive 5 hours back in the same day. So I don't know which is the lesser crazy, but,
you know, sounds doable.
That's half the time of the marathon, pretty much. And you're like literally driving all the way across California.
Yeah, yeah. I'm pretty much.
She'll have the rest of the movies on her phone, watching them through the drive. I'm
I'll just play it. Just play it as if I was there. But, you know, at least I can, you know, there's. I'm moving a little bit, you know, I can hit up a drive-thru and, you know, everything will be fine. But yeah, I'm going to be doing that on May the 4th and I'm really excited. But what a crazy, I mean, you're right. I mean, you guys posted this earlier today on Twitter. It's just an insane May the 4th. And I feel like May the 4th has just become an event. And every year, I mean, they're even doing the at the Disneyland parks, and it's just, I just feel like we're not done. Star Wars isn't down with announcing stuff. So I feel like May the 4th is going to be an insane day. But it's been really fun to kind of just have this as a celebration. I mean, my job, they kind of joke with me and they're like, oh, this is your holiday. And it truly is. So.
Well, it's like we were talking about how there was a couple years after May the 4th kind of became a real thing where it seemed like everyone was like, oh, they don't do any good stuff for May the 4th. It's like a toy reveal or something. And then now they're like getting their revenge on us ever doubting that they would make May the 4th cool by just giving us too much stuff. So
I'm actually really excited for Miranda. I actually probably when we're done recording, I'm going to show Miranda the trailer for Tales of the Empire because, you know, Miranda's kind of diving into a little Star Wars stuff. Content over here, so I can't wait to show her the trailer.
We're about to deep dive.
Miranda's she's I'm starting to get the text messages of like, so, you know, timeline questions. I'm like, oh, she's hooked.
Yes.
Let's back up a little bit, because when we were at the screening for the first three episodes of The Bad Batch at Lucasfilm, Miranda, you had never watched any Bad Batch at all before that. And I know Silver's been posting stuff that after that screening where we all had so much fun, we were laughing like crazy. You've been kind of consuming lots more Star Wars and Bad Batch stuff, right, Miranda?
Yes, that is correct. So once I came home from that screening, I took it upon myself to log into Disney Plus and binge watch every single episode up until that point of season three. And it was kind of nice because, you know, I've always liked Star Wars. I've always been into it. Maybe not to the extent of Star Wars thrifting over here, but I've always liked it. So it was nice to go. I already had like a background knowledge of what was going on. And it was nice to see, I don't know, that just like, oh, I know kind of what's going on. Hey, that was actually a good episode. Oh, okay, let me start from the beginning. And now I'm hooked. And okay, now I'm texting Silver like, hey, where are we in the timeline here? Like, are we after Attack of the Clones? Are we after Revenge of the Sith? Like, where am I in my map of my brain of the Star Wars world?
We ask those
where
questions.
I'm going to put
still,
this in.
We
you
still
know?
Ask those questions sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
Like, where is this making sense here? Where am I throwing this in?
We forget too, Miranda.
Yeah.
I know, because it's a lot. It's a lot. It's a lot. But it's great. It's a great show. It's a great show. And it was an experience to watch it for the first time ever. And then meet, you know, a bunch of great people. But not only that, see the voices. The voice actors, the directors, the creators, creative animation team behind us. Like, that was really cool.
Yeah. I think that's a really special, and I was telling Miranda, I was like, that is just a really special, what these events are so special, because we get to, again, like we talked about, you know, like the creators behind it, the voice actors who are voice acting, and just the whole team putting it together. That just like really enhances the experience, because it's just like, wow, like everyone works so hard to deliver, you know, a great show.
Right.
And a great show where Miranda comes in a final season, three episodes, and then she needs to go home to binge watch the entire show. You know, Star Wars is, I think, alive and well still, and still getting, you know, they still know how to, you know, hook people still.
For sure.
It's still dangerous because you can get addicted.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
And then you're hooked.
Look, I didn't call it an addiction. I called it a reignition, a reigniting of my love for Star Wars. Okay.
Yeah. 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 It's been really fun. It's been really fun. And it's really cool. Like I, you know, it's fun for like for me, obviously I meet my friends and it's, but also, just because, you know, Miranda's my sister and, you know, we grew up with Star Wars kind of in our, you know, because our dad and like our uncles, our family, and
yes,
we were influenced, you know, it's just interesting how influenced us differently, but it's really,
right.
But it's really fun to actually, I feel like me and Miranda have been really, you know, just chatting it up and talking Star Wars. And it's really fun to do it again with your sister because, you know, it was a big part. It was a part of our lives when we were growing up. So it's just really fun. And it's been really cool to see that happen for her. I'm excited.
Well, it seems like it's fun too, to have someone who isn't like up on all the new stuff. So you can kind of introduce them to the new stuff and kind of have fun watching the new stuff again with this person that's discovering it for the first time. So it's like, it's fun for you, Miranda, to see it because you haven't seen it. And it's fun for Silver because she gets to see you see it and get that perspective. And she gets to see it again because you're talking about it. So it's like, yeah, all the best.
Right. Agreed. Best. Agreed.
Now, Miranda, are you going with Silver to the Phantom Menace in a few weeks or a month from now?
No, unfortunately not. I will actually be out of town already.
Yeah, she'll
be
in
gone for Cinco de Mayo.
she's gonna be in Las Vegas.
I'll be in Vegas.
but while she's in Vegas, you know, going to the cool like parties,
I will be sending my love via text message.
Yeah. So
there might be Phantom Menace showing somewhere in Vegas. You can
right. I might make it happen. Actually, we'll see.
That might be the best place to see it.
I would love. Hey, imagine going to like a Vegas nightclub and just like the pottery scene and just like with some insane music.
I'm sure there's a Star Wars bar somewhere over there. There's gotta be.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure this would be cool if they had like a May the 4th, a Vegas show. Like,
there's something. Someone over there's got to love Star Wars.
Don't worry, Miranda. Miranda will keep us informed of all the Star Wars views.
Yes. We'll take plenty of pics.
If you look close enough, there might be some Star Wars slot machines at least. So maybe there's a Phantom Menace slot machine somewhere. Yeah.
There's got to be.
You
got
for sure send us a picture of that. That'd be awesome.
Noted.
Well, hopefully, Miranda, your new reawakening of Star Wars love is not all ruined by what we're doing here tonight.
No. We'll see, actually. Just kidding.
So first, before we dive in, a little bit of background on these. There's a lot of jokes about these ads. And admittedly, like, Silver, Miranda, you guys watched them before we got started. I think we can all admit they're a little weird.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like them.
Yes. Silver loved them.
But Miranda was like, what's going on here?
I was just laughing a little.
Yeah. Miranda was cracking up. I would leave the room and she's watching it. Right. She's just like, yeah, just like it was pretty funny. Yeah. It's just a different time. For sure.
Well, and really, these are perfect. Watching these and getting really more familiar with these is perfect as we all kind of get ready for next year and Celebration Japan and all the madness that's going to be going on with that.
Well, and also, I feel like these are back in our minds because of going to Rancho Obi-Wan and seeing the poster.
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah. You know, that poster is actually a pretty big conversation piece. Everyone's always so, you know, you guys did the tour, you guys walked down, and you know that big poster is a pretty it you know, you can't miss it, right? But that's probably the when we do the tours, that's just everyone's like, what's that? Yeah, well, I've never seen that before in their life. So it's always
it's funny because like we saw it and Gabe and I like like gasped. And,
absolutely.
Ann Newman, the wonderful Ann Newman from Rancho Obi-Wan, was like, oh, you guys know what that is? And we were like, oh, yeah, we know, yeah.
Do we know what it is?
You're like, absolutely.
Here, Ann Newman, let us take over this tour and let's talk about this, about this one here. Yeah, no, I always get a kick out of that because I feel like that's like a big reaction from people. They're just like, because, you know, we let them ask anybody, have any, you know, does anybody see anything interesting that they may want to point out? We can kind of talk about it. And they'll be like, yeah, so what's that? What field is this? All those characters, there's stormtroopers clapping. Like, what's going on?
Well, she was messing with our heads because it was like we thought we knew what it was. And then she started telling us how they had to paint the grass green for the poster. And then it was because in the summer and, you know, in San Francisco or wherever they were, the grass is not green, right? Because it's really dry. And then it was like, oh, yeah, we've seen the commercial. And in the commercial, it's not green.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was messing. At least it was messing with my head. I don't know about you, Jason, but it was like it was a 1-2 punch of seeing the poster and then realizing that, wait, it's like completely different than the commercial.
Yeah.
And coming to grips that we were at Rancho Obi-Wan. It was just a lot. It was a lot to process.
Right. Because then I turned my head to the left and saw a million other crazy things in my brain was going nuts. So.
Yeah. You know, that's something I want Miranda. Miranda's going to have to go.
I was just going to say, I was like, that's probably the one thing I haven't gone to or the one place I haven't gone to yet.
I told her, I said her favorite beer, like there's a brewery there, so we can probably do like a double.
Yes, we're gonna have to make a day of it.
a double day. But yeah, that's it's actually one of my favorite things to look at every time I'm there. Every time I still take a picture of it. It's in the same spot, it hasn't moved, but I still gotta take a picture of it.
So these commercials were made by the giant Japanese advertising agency called Dentsu. And in the great Star Wars Vault book by all of our mutual friends, Steve Sansweet and Lucasfilm's Pete Vilmer, it says that while in the USA, sometimes doing like a celebrity or a film director or something showing up in a commercial can sometimes be seen as like, oh, that's kind of weird. Why are they doing that? In Japan, especially around that time, it was a mark of honor. And you kind of got that thing, especially in the movie Lost in Translation, where Bill Murray's character was this famous American actor who was kind of doing these secret commercials in Japan. Like, this was before YouTube, too. So a lot of these things at that time just didn't show up in the United States. No one ever knew about them. Like, these George Lucas commercials, I think we didn't even know they existed until around YouTube. And then it was like, wait, what is all this?
Yeah, because I don't think they were even on any of the, like, the crazy VHS tapes with just random stuff on it.
No.
So, yeah, it wasn't until YouTube that most people even knew these existed.
Don't we just love YouTube? YouTube is just the best.
I mean, I didn't even know these existed up until, like, last week.
Well, that's like the crystal beer ads where it was like everyone was going nuts, and then you look at the YouTube videos and they'd been up for 10 years and no one like came across them.
Once we're done recording, I'm gonna get Miranda to speed it up to the latest YouTube grail treasure that it's been discovered within the Star Wars fandom. It's pretty interesting. But yeah, I do agree though, like there is, I feel like there, you know, there have been celebrities who do go to Japan. I'm trying to figure out what show I was watching, and the character in the show is an actor, and his, you know, they all discover that he was doing commercials in Japan, and it was
His friends.
Oh, okay, yeah, friends. That's what I was watching. Yeah,
Joey goes and does a lipstick commercial.
Oh yeah, he does. He goes to Japan, right? And then yes. And they all discovered it, and he didn't tell anybody that he went to Japan to film. Yeah, just like Lost in Translation, but yeah, I don't remember. I think there's one. I'll talk about it as we go through these. There's one I do remember seeing. Whether it was. You know, and we'll talk about it, but yeah, these are insane. And not just the commercials, there's a lot of fantastic advertisement images. So that's, we're just barely scratching the surface here with George Lucas in Japan.
And really, who better to promote the Panasonic's vision of the future of technology than the wizard of technology himself, Mr. George Lucas? And these ads were made in America at Skywalker Ranch in 1987. And in Japan, there were posters like the one at Rancho Obi-Wan. There were magazine ads. It was perfect timing. It was the 10th anniversary of Star Wars. And these commercials were huge. George Lucas went to a big like unveiling event in Japan. There were billboards in the streets. There were even more commercials made in the next year, in 1988, which we're going to be watching in anticipation of the Olympics in Seoul, Korea. And then you had the ads with, if you're not familiar with him, we're going to learn all about him in a little bit, Sparky, George Lucas's little robot friend, who was designed by Ralph McQuarrie, made by ILM, and in Light and Magic. When I went back after I saw The Abyss in theaters this year, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go back and watch the parts in Light and Magic about The Abyss. And then they show like a wide shot of the shop at ILM. And I'm like, oh my God, there's Sparky in the back of ILM.
Yeah.
He helps make The Abyss.
I know exactly. Yeah. he had a lot to say about The Abyss. You know, it's so funny, Jason, that you mentioned that. I've been watching Light and Magic just nonstop the last 2 weeks. It's over. Gotta put it on again. That's just been my comfort little documentary that's been going on my rotation right now. But I noticed that too. He's on the top of like a bookshelf, right? All the way in the back. And it's like, oh my gosh, that's a Sparky sighting.
And it's like, where is Sparky now? He's probably like, that's full size Sparky robot is somewhere.
Yeah. It's definitely in California. Miranda.
It's in Silver's garage, actually. No. Oh my God.
I would cease to exist. I just think that would be too much if it was. I would just be like, we have to quit. Sparky's here. Sparky's a great friend. I think he's Spark. You know, what we learn in these videos, we all need a friend like Sparky.
And we I know Gabe and I saw, was it Celebration Chicago? Day one, we saw a Sparky toy. And it was at one booth where they had a Sparky toy and they had a Living in These Star Wars by the Rebel Force Band album. And we were dumb and we were like, oh,
we didn't buy any of it. We're like, we'll get it cheaper later in the weekend.
Yeah. And then like, I think we came back like later that day or the next day and all of that was gone.
It was all gone. Yeah.
Probably Brandon probably bought both of them. So.
Brandon probably brought both of them, I bet. I actually posted something on my Twitter. I said, I think my sole purpose of going to Star Wars Celebration Japan next year is to buy one of those Sparky clocks. And I refuse to leave Tokyo unless I have one of those in my possession.
Just hunt it down.
There's no way. I feel like, who would I be? I mean, what would my identity be? Like, who am I if I do not come home with Sparky?
You're going to have to end up in like backroom hotel wheeling and dealing maybe, but you can make it happen. You can make it happen.
Yeah. I just got to find a guy who knows a guy who knows a person.
Right. And
yeah.
Somebody somewhere has got it.
Someone give me the Sparky merch, please. And if the Sparky bootlegs, even better.
So these ads won tons of awards. And a lot of it was leading up to the opening of Star Tours in Tokyo Disneyland in July of 1989, which, funny enough, was sponsored by Panasonic. And then, of course, the legendary George Lucas Super Live Adventure, which was in Japan, April to September 1993. And for some reason, I never put this together, but if you think of some of the merch for the George Lucas Super Live Adventure, it's just George Lucas's face. And it's not called like the Star Wars Super Live Adventure or the Lucasfilm Super Live Adventure. It's the George Lucas Super Live Adventure.
Yeah, I actually was thinking about that too. I'm like, okay, I get having George Lucas for, you know, the commercials. Yeah, but every time I think about the Super Live Adventure, it's like, man, George Lucas was a big deal in Japan. Because it's not like, yeah, it's not like it was just like a Star Wars Super Live Adventure. It's George Lucas. And that's always just been really, really, just really fascinating. I don't know. Like, in Japan, they weren't really pushing back the technology. Like, let's, like, you know, not getting as much pushback. I feel like George Lucas was getting pushback about moving technology here, but just not in Japan. I mean, Japan knows. George Lucas is a superstar.
That's why all of us, we may never come back from Celebration Japan. We might just be like, we belong here.
I think so, too.
We'll end up wandering the forests with Ewoks somehow.
You're all, finally, I'm home.
Yeah. Yeah. Made it.
So what we're going to do here is we're going to be watching all of these legendary commercials. We're going to each do personal reports on each one. We'll do the Silver Miranda report and then the Blast Points report. And we're going to give a brief summary of on each side of what we thought was happening. An analysis of the themes or the message that we got out of it, and then a conclusion on how it kind of made us feel emotionally. So we'll watch each one, and Silver Miranda, if you don't mind, you'll go first, and then Gabe and I will give our thoughts, and this is going to be great. This is going to be amazing.
It's ready, set, go.
We can truly experience the universe.
今、私たちは宇宙を実感できる、世界を実感できる。衛星放送のために BS チューナー内蔵、ドームスピーカー搭載、パナカラー X。
Panasonic, ITSUMO, something new.
Okay, well, I'm just going to say that you know, experiencing the world with George Lucas and his friends, I just see George Lucas and Darth Vader. They're just like on the opposite side of each other, right? When the commercial starts and then something in the sky comes. And of course it's the, you know, Panasonic and like loudspeakers and stuff like that. And it just united them. Then Darth Vader came into frame and it scared Chewbacca at first because Darth Vader had his lightsaber, but the lightsaber, he turned off his lightsaber and they were all just friends. And I feel what the message is unity. And I think that's what the glowing egg is. It's, you know, this product can unite us as friends. So when I watched this, that's how I felt. I felt like, wow, anything can happen.
If you just
I don't know, that's what I got from it. But Miranda, do you care to report?
It's crazy that you see it very differently. Because to me, it's just, you know, this company pushing their, you know, their product. And but like for me, it's just like, okay, they're using George Lucas to push their product of, you know, TV sound great. But it's just showing that we get to experience like a new world. You know, George Lucas is a great director creating this, you know, galaxy far, far away. We get to experience that through Panasonic. It's that's the message I got. I'm seeing it from like a marketing standpoint.
I'm more tapped in emotionally.
She's so tapped in.
this unity of this glowing egg is the key to unite all of us.
And I'm here listening to her explanation. I'm like, wow, I didn't even notice that they were far apart.
Gosh, we're dying over here.
Sorry. Woo. But yeah, that's what I got. It makes me feel very good. Because it's bringing me a lot of laughter.
Good. That's all we wanted.
So if you came home and there was a glowing pink egg in your house, would you pick it up and try to feel the joy, or would you leave the house?
You know what? I just might. Something new.
I just feel like that egg, it just represents unity. Like, we're all together, and yeah. I don't know. I had a... Well, that's Silver Miranda's report.
Yeah, right. Back to you.
Let's take it away, Jason.
I'm liking the fact that, because I didn't catch the Chewbacca being scared by Darth Vader thing. I just like that the Ewoks are like oblivious to any of that stuff. They don't care. They're in their own little happy Ewok world. They're not even looking at Darth Vader. They don't care. Everyone's, I guess, the same to them. You're either their friend or their your food or something like that. So they're just chilling out.
I like to think that we, for this little, 30 seconds, that this is like a trip into George Lucas's subconscious. That in his mind, he's in there with Darth Vader and Chewbacca and Ewoks. And then he's thinking about sound systems. And he's into that. And it's kind of like when the thing kind of comes out of the sky and like bounces off like a satellite dish or something. I'm not sure what it is. He's thinking about like sound traveling and stuff. And in the end, when he looks kind of spooky and he's got a floating pink egg and he's just bouncing it around with the force, maybe? I don't know. And it's about something new. It's weird. And I imagine this is what his dreams look like.
It is like, yeah, he's trying to come up with a new idea and he hasn't quite figured it out. And then at the end, his idea has formed into a pink egg that maybe came out of his hair and like fell into his hands.
And I like that the lighting with the it's about something new moment at the pink egg is it seems to be purely coming from the glowing pink egg.
That's out of his mind and into his hands, a glowing pink egg.
How did they do that glowing pink egg? Do you think that was ILM?
I just think, no, George Lucas just has the force. And George Lucas can actually do that.
Maybe.
Absolutely true. This has all just been a lie. You know, you think it's not real, but it's real.
I was like, because almost it didn't look like George Lucas for a second. I'm like, huh, I thought I've known George Lucas's face my whole life. And I'm like, huh, that's a different lighting.
Does he even have his beard?
It's a very light beard, yeah.
Yeah, it's like his beard is, its only weakness is pink light, because when the pink light shines on it, you can't see the beard anymore, it disappears.
The pink light.
All right, well, should we move on to commercial number two?
Let's do this.
Here we go.
All right, ready to go.
My job is to surprise everyone. To entertain them. Right now, I'm surprised and entertained.
Ima, George Lucas wo odorokase, tanoshimasete iru mono. Q-head no kougahitsu, National Macrode Movie.
Itsumo, something new.
The egg is back. The egg is back.
The beard is there.
The beard
is. I saw it this time.
Beard watch. It's a pretty straightforward video. I feel like, you know, the MC-15 camcorder is just bringing George Lucas's characters to life. And I just feel like, hey, if it actually made me want to pick up one of these camcorders, because I can like create my very own Return of the Jedi. I feel like all the, you know, everything was coming to life. And it was a pretty cool. I thought this was pretty cool.
Yeah, and I agree. Very straightforward. Like, hey, I'm here to entertain and surprise you with my new creations, my new world that I'm making. This is what I'm using. Go out and buy one.
Miranda, Miranda's like, marketing point of view. Well,
that's what it is. It's an ad. It's a commercial.
Well, it convinced me because I genuinely feel like
now Silver wants to go buy one. So
if I pick up this MC50 all in all, camcorder, I swear I can make the second Return of the Jedi.
Right. So all in all, the advertisement. Yeah, very good.
It worked.
This one's just fun because I like to look at all the stuff. Because it's got all your friends are there. The 3PO's there. Jabba's there with like really moody lighting. There's Star Wars maquettes. There's the models. He's hanging out with C-3PO. This is, I think, like how I like to imagine George Lucas like spends his weekends, where it's like Saturday and he's going to grab his camcorder and go to the archives and like have somebody bring all the models out. 3PO and I are going to play with all the models today. And they're just like filming videos for fun on camcorders in the archives, R2 and 3PO and George Lucas.
I think my favorite thing in this commercial is his acting of reading the lines, where he's like, right now I'm surprised and entertained.
Because it's his job. It's his job to be surprised and entertained. So he's going to be surprised and entertained.
That's the least sounding surprised and entertained person I've ever heard in my life.
right.
Yeah.
Like, let's just sound a little more surprised and entertained.
If these commercials are going to teach us anything, it's like, my gosh, what would I have done? I would do anything to be a fly on the wall during the day of production for these commercials and the director directing George Lucas saying this stuff.
Right.
Yeah, because just think, this is the most surprised and entertained they were able to get him to sound.
Look, he's a director, not an actor.
George Lucas, please make that faster, more intense for me, please.
Yeah, well, you get a good look at the archives too, which you can never complain about. You know, it's always nice seeing some maquettes and stuff. So, well, are we ready to do commercial number 3?
Yes.
Here we go.
I am always thinking of new dreams.
George Lucas.
I dream of visions which have yet to be seen.
いつも新しい夢を考えてきた.
Which have not yet been
見たことのないものを.
From dreams,
聞いたことのない音を現実の形にしてきた。
In this universe, new dreams and new friends.
この宇宙は新しい夢と仲間でいっぱいだ。
Panasonic, always new dreams, wonderful friends.
Panasonic, いつも新しい夢。
All right, that one is by far my favorite. But okay,
go ahead.
Silver Miranda, please.
Yeah, definitely I think this is my favorite out of them all, because I feel like this. Not to sound morbid, but if I were to have an afterlife, this would be it for me. I feel like, you know. This is what I imagined. This is where I imagine I would like to go when I'm no longer on this earth. There is something so amazing about this. Everything is good in this commercial. I have almost no notes other than, let me just point out my favorite things that I like, okay? I mean, obviously the Skywalker Ranch backdrop, the music is just hooking. Like it hooks you. George Lucas talking about sweet dreams is my sweet dream, to be honest. And this is like my actual dream. I do picture like this is like what afterlife. But I think for me, the scene stealer was the wheat stalk, the dried wheat stalk that he's pointing,
playing with.
Because I just think it's so like...
Because it brought a smile to his face.
Yeah, he enjoyed it. Yes, I feel like this
legitimate
is...
legitimate fun doing it.
Yeah, I think he had a great time doing it.
No, this commercial, by far, out of all the ones I've seen today, it was actually... It's really nice because what Panasonic is trying to say... But realistically, what they're trying to do here is they're embracing George Lucas and him, you know, creating this world. And it's like, okay, well, this is now we're out here in a wheat field, or a wheat field of wheat in the real world, but we've got these characters that were brought to life through, you know, George Lucas. And then we see all the drawings from where they started to, you know, the real stormtrooper and the real, you know, Yoda and what they came to be in the movie. So it was really cool to see that. And yeah, beautiful, beautiful.
Yeah. I mean, like frolicking in the fields with Ewoks is a good time.
Right. They're little. Right. Let's hold hands. And let's walk through this field
and join our other friends.
Let's just enjoy life because we're all here and I, you know, made you guys. I brought you alive. So here we are.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
I do. Actually, you know, I like that Miranda brought up the art because when I saw the art, that was pretty. I thought that was really special.
I thought that was the best part. Yeah.
Because it just shows like, you know, just the.
The mind of George Lucas.
And like how, you know, the concept art to life and, you know, now look at where we're at.
We're frolicking
in the field together. Yes. Also, can we talk about the guards? It looks like they're PVC pipes with like a foam ball on top.
Yeah, they're Q-tips.
I love that you're just like, well, we can't find the real thing.
No one will notice.
No one will notice.
Except
this.
For you guys, because I definitely did not notice.
You can't get into Star Wars heaven with dirty ears. Yeah. You have to clean it out first.
Yeah, for sure. It's fun. I just like that. They all celebrated at the end. You know, the stormtroopers were it was just a good time. But
it was a beautiful commercial.
Yeah, it's my favorite for sure.
Because I love this one because it starts out with George Lucas in a wheat field and he's wearing blue jeans and a button-up shirt. And it's
like a sexy butt shot of him. Like Linda Ronstadt was like, use that. Bring the camera down. We want to see it.
See, I didn't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. Yes. Those are some nice Levi's looking pants. I was like, wow, they fit really nicely on him. Never like George.
It shows the Macquarie art, you know, like you guys were saying, with like going from like the art to the final product. And it's like, oh, this is really cool. But then when he starts walking and the Ewoks come out and he looks so happy. And he takes the hands of the Ewoks. And then there's like a reeze and like a squid head clapping for George Lucas. It's like this. Yeah. Like I said, this like, am I dead? Am I in heaven? Because this is what it really would look like. Yeah.
Yeah. This commercial is so good because it's like, this is how you know if you're like, maybe you like Star Wars a little too much because you watch it and you're like, man, when I die, I hope it's just like this. this is what I want to see. It's like, maybe my family won't be there, but I won't care because these are my real friends.
Because I'm holding hands with Ewoks.
Yeah, that's how I feel. I was like, wow, this is actually a great afterlife. Like, I'm actually okay with this.
Wait, George Lucas, you're still alive, but I think I'm going to come with you somehow.
No, and Gabe, dude, we got to talk about, too, Gabe, when we were in San Francisco, when we were in Northern California, at what point did we figure out that, was it when we were at Rancho Obi-Wan that this commercial was filmed at Skywalker Ranch?
Yeah, I think it wasn't until Ann told us.
Yeah.
And then it was like, oh, of course it is.
And then when we were at Skywalker Ranch, we're trying so hard to keep it really cool. And it was really hard to keep it. As you know, it was really hard to keep it really cool.
It's really hard.
But you're looking out over those hills. And in my mind, I'm just like, oh my God, this is where they did the commercial with George Lucas and the Ewoks.
Where are the Ewoks? Yeah. Bring them out.
Yeah. It just makes sense, right? Because it's like, huh, they have all that. They're all the costumes and the creatures are over there. Yeah. So like it would just make sense.
Right,
like,
over there.
Yeah, it just would make sense. Hey guys, let's just go up to the front yard and just do this real quick.
Yeah. And make this beautiful commercial.
Yeah. I mean it's a yeah, I mean I think the time when you guys went, Jason and Gabe, you guys experienced rain and we did too when we went to Skywalker Ranch. So
oh yeah.
I was like,
which made it, I think, beautiful.
Yeah.
For sure. All the trees.
Yeah. But I mean, imagine doing like, you know, yeah, a commercial in the rain.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Now we know the secret is to try to come in the summer when it looks like this commercial.
We'll all have to go again.
And then you can go walk through the field, like an Ewok, and you'll get covered in ticks probably, and it'll be, but it'll be worth it because you'll be just like an Ewok. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. And then we can all get our own like little wheatgrass stock, and just
and we can just
peekaboo. Seriously, that's the most. He looked genuinely happy in that moment. Like, this is like, oh,
absolutely.
He looked really happy. He enjoyed it. I think that was probably just improv. I think he did it.
Yeah, absolutely. that was behind the scenes footage, yeah, that they threw in.
That
there
was him. That was all him.
He is excited and entertained. Maybe he was grumpy about doing the commercial. And then they told him he could bring the Reese out. And then he was like, okay, I'll do it.
He's like, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I'm happy now.
Yeah.
This next one's a good one. So let's get ready. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, go.
This is my creation. Call him Sparky.
Sparky.
Intelligent turbo mecha. 映像が自由にコントロールできるジョグシャトル。これが僕の世代のビデオだ。すごい。パナソニック。ハイファイマックロード F70。パナソニック。All
right. There's a lot to unpack there.
Yeah. Did Sparky take off on a rocket? Ay, 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 Sparky.
That's where R2-D2 learned it from.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you're right.
It all makes sense.
You know what? You're right, because
it all makes sense.
We see R2-D2 use it in Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. So this would be, you know, yeah, okay. He showed him, hey, you're going to shoot these prequels in the future.
Right, let's get started.
Let's get some rockets. I think Sparky installed the rockets personally into, yeah, R2-D2. Yeah, I think Sparky and R2-D2 have a great friendship. Obviously, Sparky has a VHS player that recorded their play dates and like, hey, like, you know, let's show you guys us hanging out. Sparky is adorable, just like all of George's creations, to be honest. But the Hi-Fi MacLord cassette recorder is clearly the ultimate creation that they're trying to tell us.
Right. Marketing.
Yeah. but R2-D2 and Sparky are just also like a great, you know, yeah. But I like how like every time they would show you the feature of this recording device, Sparky would almost imitate that. Like when they were going fast forward, like his...
Right,
he would fast forward, so.
So for me, this commercial, I feel like Sparky was made by George Lucas to play, you know, the movies that they're trying to play on this cassette player or something. He's like essentially the remote, is what I call
him. What? The remote?
He's like the remote, like when George Lucas doesn't want to go, you know, press play himself. Sparky is there, and Sparky, now R2-D2 Sparky, has a friend.
Sparky pause.
Yeah.
Sparky fast forward.
It's like the very first version of like, hey Siri, except it's a robot.
Oh, got you. All right, hey, all Sparky.
Right. Hey Sparky.
All right. That was us.
Gabe, what are your thoughts on this classic?
Yeah. I just thinking about the idea that R2-D2 and Sparky are just hanging out watching like copied movies on VHS tapes. Like that's how they spend their time.
I think we got to talk about the fact that George Lucas comes rolling in like a tuxedo with an exceedingly long white scarf. Like, let's talk about Lucas's look in this commercial. That white scarf and a tuxedo. Like, why is he wearing a tuxedo?
Yeah. You know what, George Lucas? I mean, just the fashion in these commercials are insane. I mean, just the jeans from the last one and then this tie with, or this suit with the scarf. Very, yeah, Met Gala.
Sparky's a classy robot. I think it's, you know, you got to dress up when Sparky's pushing play for you. You got to look the part and be dressed up,
right?
Otherwise, Sparky won't do it. Maybe that's Sparky. George is like, I want you to push buttons on my VHS player, and Sparky's like, not dressed like that. I'm not. And then Luke. and then he's gonna go put the tuxedo on.
Absolutely not.
Sparky has standards. Yeah, so, yeah. Right?
We can all learn from Sparky, I think.
Yeah. I also really like that Sparky has glasses. I know.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I think Sparky looks like George Lucas. Yes. Am I wrong?
Oh, he does a little bit. Yeah,
like in a later version, a later version of George Lucas.
It's his creation.
I don't know. I don't know. I don't know why I think that, but you know.
Well, it's the glasses.
It's the glasses. For sure. I'm just thinking of like later George Lucas.
George Lucas knew he was going to be needing glasses. So he's like, we're going to just prematurely throw these on Sparky so we could be twins later.
Yeah. Well, Sparky's a very smart guy, so he needs his glasses.
Where is Sparky? Release Sparky. Let him free.
It's what we deserve. They got to take Sparky to Celebration for sure. Sparky can have it. He can have his own.
Be so much
he
fun.
Can have his own panel, honestly. Yeah, he can host the whole thing. Honestly, I would
that
sit.
Would be cool.
I would sit and watch. Oh, I would, you know, if he's just on stage with R2-D2 and they're just zooming back and forth on stage, I mean, I would be entertained.
That's it. That's the whole Celebration.
Sparky should be the mascot.
Absolutely.
All right, are we ready for the next one? I'm excited. Here we go. Let's 1, 2, 3, go.
High vision. It's a modern picture.
High vision. それは現代の絵巻だ。いつの時代も人は映像により優れたリアリティを求めてきた。よりワイドな画面へ。よりクリアな画像へ。ハイビジョン技術の開発に世界に先駆けて取り組んだパナソニック。映画、放送をはじめさまざまな分野でハイビジョンの世界を広げます。パナソニックのテクノロジーがハイビジョンをここまで身近にした。パナソニックハイビジョンシステム。パナソニック。
There's a lot going on in that one. A lot happening.
Yeah, that was an actual.
That one was interesting.
That's an actual fever dream of mine. I gotta say the opening shot just grabbed my attention. George looks
and George.
Looking at the camera and all the cuts, like just
with
like,
his scroll in hand.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Definitely a scroll in hand. I mean, we know that George Lucas was really heavily influenced with, you know, Japanese movies. And so this is kind of, I think this was kind of cool for him, you know, to see him recording essentially this battle that's happening in the water. And then also they're showing like the ratio change of the camera, which is pretty, pretty cool. I just like that Darth Vader's happy at the end. I mean, if Darth Vader right. is happy, then we're all happy, I guess.
And right.
George seemed to be happy that Darth Vader's happy. But yeah, a lot to unpack. But he's filming. But he also has like an assistant director, and that stormtrooper was there to help him.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So.
The stormtrooper was my favorite part.
Yeah.
He's like, ready, set, action.
Yeah, like just probably the best assistant on set.
Right.
There to help record this action sequence.
You know, he's just doing his job.
Yeah. So it's pretty, I just like a lot, even visually it just looked really cool. Just like the old style, like Japanese like art style, and then George Lucas being there.
Just being in the middle of it.
But he's on a boat and it's like, whoa, he's in this battle.
Right.
So really cool.
Yeah, that one was interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, this one is like the artsiest, classiest one. And then Darth Vader shows up and it says happy. And then it gets really weird at the end. But yeah, this one's just like really, really well done. I was just kind of, it never really dawned on me watching these before, like that in Japan they had widescreen TVs in the late 80s. Because thinking about like watching widescreen VHS tapes on square TVs back then, that there were people watching them on widescreen TVs, like, I'm jealous.
I'm very jealous because I was.
That's when you had your like 13-inch TV, right? That you were watching widescreen tapes on.
Yeah, people thought I was crazy. People come over to my little apartment and they'd be like, you can barely see anything. And I'd be like, but it says the director intended.
Yeah.
I wonder though, is the scroll that he's holding up, is kind of the story of this commercial, the scroll that he's holding up, is that the story we're seeing unfold? Because you see it kind of like literally unroll, and then the next thing you know, George Lucas, like you said, he's on a boat, and it's like he's telling a story, but that story is like filmmaking and shooting this like action scene.
So he's filming a scroll in this commercial.
It's like a story. Yeah, a story. And he's like, I make stories. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Via scroll. Let's jump on in and get.
Well, a VHS tape is kind of like a scroll.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it's rolled up inside like a scroll.
Yeah.
That makes 100% sense.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. It's like, I would imagine, like, sometimes, you know, when you watch like these, like the kid shows and, you know, they're reading a book and then they jump inside the book. Right. Now they're in the book.
Like Blue's Clues. Yeah. Like, what's Blue's Skidoo?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they go,
whoop. So George Lucas did.
Yeah, for sure. I liked it. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed it quite a bit.
If George Lucas ever attacks you, if you have a scroll nearby and give it to him, he will get sucked inside the scroll, and then you can escape.
Right, exactly. Like,
keep him here for, yeah.
And then, now we know his weak point.
He's like the Pokemon, like a Pokeball.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, gotta
catch him.
Gotta catch him.
Shine the pink light on him to weaken him, and then throw up the scroll.
Oh, my beard's disappearing. Oh, no.
We just uncovered it all right now.
We just figured it out. We're like,
it all makes sense.
Learning so much about George Lucas in these commercials, and I am here for it.
I would love it if he had tried to attack any one of us at any time. Like, I'm at it with you.
Please get that wheat stock. Get that wheat stock away from me, George Lucas. Don't you dare shake that wheat stock at me. We need a gif of him shaking that little weed stock. When we're on Twitter and people are annoying me, I'm just gonna shake that weed. George Lucas is disappointed in you.
Just post it for everything. Like, great episode of The Bad Batch today, weed stock.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because it could mean so. Oh, it could
that
mean,
definitely needs to be a thing.
It could mean so much, that wheat stock.
All right. So our next one, this is a famous one. This is the camera morph. This is George Lucas' camera morph. So a lot of people talk about this one a lot. So let's, here we go.
To create images is always a challenge. Digital magic.
Panasonic.
Okay, so I lied. That one's actually my favorite one. because I forgot the camcorder morphed into George Lucas. And that was genius. That was beautiful.
Yeah.
My favorite.
That's your favorite for sure.
That's where I busted up laughing.
Yeah. This commercial is, I feel like if I'm gonna, this is more recognizable for me. I feel like a lot of these things that we've been watching, I've never really seen before, but this one, I feel like I've seen it, whether it was in like a documentary or like even like a piece of George, like when people were talking about George Lucas and they talk about, you know, his hand and recording digitally and stuff. And they always show this image. It's a very iconic morph. And, you know, I was thinking, I said, okay, like this is a 1988. This is obvious. And the movie Willow was out in 1988. And that, obviously, the iconic morphing scene was around the same time of this commercial. So, I mean, it's pretty, I like to, like, it's, you know, I want to know if this was after or before Willow. I'm trying to.
Probably around the same time, because Willow was the summertime. So you'd have to think early 88. They were working on that, that morphing, if not even before then.
Yeah, so it's kind of cool that, you know, like, I was like, oh, it's kind of around the same time. But yeah, this is an iconic piece of art here, I feel like.
Right.
George Lucas turning it, the camera just morphing into George. I mean, George Lucas is the camera.
He is. Well, he quite literally is.
He is the camera, you know? He is. This makes sense. This just makes sense. This feels right. I had a friend, actually, I asked, you know, what is, can you translate the Japanese that is spoken in this video, and it says Panasonic's digital technology is changing the world of video. So there's like a voiceover in Japanese, and I asked my buddy, I was like, can you translate this? But yeah, so Panasonic's digital technology is changing the world of video.
I think the best part about this one is morphing George Lucas's face from a camera wasn't enough. Someone was brilliant enough to say, make sure George Lucas has sunglasses on so that after he morphs from a camera to a person, he has sunglasses on that he can take off to be even like another level cooler than just being made out of a camera.
Did they morph the glasses off? Did he really take
them off?
Was that
practical?
Yeah, yeah, he takes them off.
I'm telling you, it was beautifully done. It's my favorite. Like, I loved it.
Real sunglasses, real effects.
Yeah. Because he kind of morphs from the camera into the Super Live Adventure George Lucas, where it's just like his face with the sunglasses.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah.
It was the sunglasses era of George Lucas. Yeah. It was brief, but well, this one is really interesting. This next one, the Grand Vision 43 Panacolor.
I don't like to watch movies on the small screen. The big screen enhances the enjoyment of the movies.
Just that?
Well, picture quality is also important.
Is that all?
Get out of here. Panasonic, Itsumo, something new.
I've never seen this one before. Where did this one come from?
Two George Lucases. That's insane.
One of them gets snapped away.
Yeah. So my question is, what does the one that gets the second George Lucas, he's like very secret. Like, what secret is he hiding?
Right. Like, what was the meaning of bringing him in and being like,
is that all?
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Is that it? And then, is there anything more you want to add to that?
I know. I'm like, what is going on here?
And then real George Lucas casually just like, get out of here. Yeah.
You're not telling my dirt. You're not telling any of my secrets. Like, what? Okay. So we're talking about enhancing the viewing experience. Okay. Right. So he says, obviously a big screen, and he's like, is there anything else? Okay. It's the sound and picture quality. You sure? Anything else? And he's like, get out of here. It's like, can you let him finish? Was it snacks? Like what else?
Maybe the popcorn,
licorice, Dr. Pepper. Like what else enhances the viewing experience? But George Lucas does not want us to find out. It's so interesting to me.
Yeah, no, that one was funny. And actually, I actually laughed actually at this one probably the hardest because I was not expecting it.
Yeah.
I was not expecting a second George Lucas to be like,
you sure about that? Are you sure about that right now? Yeah. Are you sure about that? It's like, what does he know?
Right.
Yeah. So anyways, I like the commercial, but there's something I feel that I don't feel like it's complete. I feel there's a cliffhanger and we may never not know what else is going to help enhance the viewing experience. Because George Lucas...
Well, you're never going to know until you watch a movie, and that's the thing. Go get yourself a big old TV.
Okay.
And experience it yourself. Bam. Marketing.
Jeez. Second George Lucas is like the evil twin and he knows stuff. And I want to know, I just need a little time with him to ask him some questions. That's all I need.
I like this way of imagining. It's like when there's people who complain about the prequels and like, what happened to the George Lucas who did the original trilogy? And it's like, he's here in the commercial and George Lucas snapped him away because he got tired of him.
Well, see, here's what confuses me though. Lucas Prime, right? The main Lucas is wearing a sweater. Mischief Lucas, that gets snapped away into the nether region, is wearing a plaid shirt, which makes me think that's the real Lucas Prime. And maybe this is like an imposter George Lucas in the sweater, because what is that sweater? Like, we never see Lucas wear a sweater like that. And in the end, when he's standing next to the big TV and he's like, it's about something new. What is that sweater? He should be wearing a plaid shirt. I think that like mischief Lucas
is the real,
is George the true Smith. Lucas. Wow. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I agree now.
Yeah.
I see it in a different light.
Yeah, you're right.
That does make sense.
Sorry, my dogs. Yeah, the imposter George Lucas was just kind of like, oh, this is all, yeah, just kind of settling. And mischievous real George Lucas is like, no, there's more. Are you sure that's it? Yeah.
Do we know what year this came out? Like, is this like really deep where it's like plaid shirt is like pre-divorce Lucas and then the sweat one is like post-divorce, serious, depressed, making movies about death George Lucas? And he's like, happy Lucas, go away.
That's a good question. I'm going to, you know, just going by our analysis of Lucas's beard and hair, I'm going to guess that this is possibly 88. It seems more 88. But there's not as much gray in the hair as later.
I just like these two different sides of George Lucas.
I do as well. And like I said, it was a pleasant surprise to have a second one pop up. I guess we'll never know which one's the real one.
I think we're on to something here about
absolutely
mischievous one. Do you guys think that evil George Lucas is inside, stuck in a scroll somewhere?
Oh, absolutely.
That's where he's at.
Oh, no.
But I think that could be Sweater Lucas. Sweater Lucas is the evil one.
Yeah, Sweater Lucas is inside a scroll somewhere.
That's true. Because, yeah, good Lucas must have taken control back, because now he's wearing plaid shirts again.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, all right, on that note, we've got our final commercial. But Miranda, are you still there? Did you leave?
Oh, no, I'm here. I am here soaking it all in.
Yeah. No, like, you guys don't see her. She's listening and she's like, I'm absorbing
all of the George Lucas tonight in this room.
No, you guys should see. Like, Miranda is like, she's appreciating all the new George Lucas lore that we're giving her.
Right. No, I'm still here. I'm
loving it.
I'm loving it. I'm here for all of this.
So, all right, we've got one more. The MacLord, the S MacLord. This, for some reason, this is our longest one. So let's find out. Here we go.
There are no ordinary things in this world.
見慣れたものなんてこの世にはない。見方が悪いだけだ。じっと見つめてごらん。きっと違った世界が見えてくるはずだ。 もっと美しく水平解像度400本以上の高画質パナソニックが見慣れた世界を新しい世界に変える。Sで撮って、Sで見る。パナソニック S マックロード。
Wow, that was a perfect one to end it on.
You know what I was going to say? I said, I know we've been kind of enjoying and joking and stuff like that, but I think this one for me is pretty, I got pretty emotional. I just really enjoy this commercial. I think just the images coming from the page, you know, and the music, it's just music. George, that white sweater, it's just like, it just sets the tone and the mood. Also, George Lucas reading to Sparky. It's just a great, I don't know, he pats him on the head. It's really sweet. It's just, but I've come to realize after watching all these commercials, with the introduction of Sparky early on, I think that Sparky represents all of us in a way. Because George Lucas is very, I think what George Lucas really wanted to do was just because of the visionary he is, and just him wanting to
tell stories, but also like, let's tell stories in a better way by pushing technology and just discovering. And I feel this is a great commercial and I feel very sentimental and emotional about it because that's just who George Lucas is. I mean, everything about this commercial is, I mean, that's just who, what we've seen. And I know we joked and like, you know, laughed and how, you know, silly these commercials were, but I mean, this is, this is who George Lucas is. And, you know, he wanted to, let's make telling stories better. How can I do it? What is my contribution? And I mean, look at the legacy he left behind. It's just, this is just who he is. He was a visionary. He said, we can do this better. We can tell stories better by pushing the envelope, by investing in new technology. Technology is going to change movies. And George Lucas is just telling Sparky that. And he's just telling Sparky, hey, like, there's a bigger world. And, you know, I just feel like we're all Sparky. We're Sparky.
We are Sparky.
I feel like this is, Sparky represents us. George Lucas is trying to tell us, like, hey, like, you know, new technology can tell us beautiful stories. So we're Sparky.
Right. And we're just transforming tech. I mean, we're just using this commercial and showing you, like, hey, technology has come this far. We can do beautiful things and make beautiful stories with this technology that we're using. And I don't know, we are Sparky.
So yeah, I think it's I think this was a great for us. Like, I mean, what a great commercial to end on, for sure. Loved.
Very touching.
I like that Sparky's, like, George Lucas is reading Sparky like a fairy tale story, and Sparky's ideal fairy tale story is there's these dragonflies that push the buttons on the VHS player so Sparky doesn't have to push them. It's like Sparky's ultimate fantasy.
See, I told you.
Gosh, we're definitely Sparky because it's just like... Yeah,
because who actually wants to press play on the DVD player? Yeah. On the VHS? No one.
Are we all actually George Lucas? Well, not to be mean, as the older sister in this family, Miranda, as the younger sibling, that was your goal. I'd be like, Miranda, turn off the TV.
I was Sparky. Miranda. I was the remote.
we'd make the youngest be like, turn off the TV. Turn the volume up.
Absolutely.
The other thing I like, I think at the beginning, isn't that like a milk pail, like in the left corner? Like, is George Lucas hanging out with Sparky drinking milk, like straight from the farm out of a big milk pail?
Oh my goodness.
Just hanging out with robots. And drinking unpasteurized milk. Like, that's like the ultimate Lucas weekend.
That's all Sparky. That's the only thing. Sparky doesn't eat food. He just drinks milk.
It's either a milk pail or it's a spittoon. And also, there's a bird cage in the back. Did you catch that?
Yeah. I like to think that Sparky has a love for, you know, like just design, you know, just having like a nice, I don't know, I feel like a birdcage in your, I don't know, it just seems very like, I don't know, it's just a very, I don't know, maybe Sparky has a pet bird.
Maybe he has a bird, you know, he can't just be pressing play all the time.
Or, you know what, I think Sparky,
more responsibility.
Sparky has such style, clearly we see, I mean, to be honest, I think George Lucas's best dress is in this commercial, in the one with Sparky in the suit. He's very, like, so I think Sparky would have an antique bird cage just because it's, I don't know. I think it's for decoration.
Sparky is a very sophisticated.
He's very sophisticated, and I feel like there's some history with that birdcage. I feel like it's an antique, maybe.
Somebody get George on the phone.
Yeah,
we need to get to the bottom of this.
I think it's Sparky. Sparky has just a eye for interior decorating.
Right, maybe.
I think so.
Well, I really like the, it seems like early
computer animation dragonflies too.
No, for sure. Yeah. Looked really cool. I don't know. I just really like, I just think this is, I don't know, just a great, really great commercial. But Sparky, man. Sparky's the best.
We are Sparky.
We are Sparky.
This has been amazing. I mean, I think we have all learned quite a bit here about ourselves, about these commercials, about George Lucas, about Sparky. Silver Miranda, what are you taking away from all this whole experience now?
Well, I mean, I kind of talked about it in the last commercial, just how like, wow, like just how important, you know, George Lucas has been just with, you know, pushing the technology and what that has meant for us and just filmmaking in general. But it's just, I don't know. I think this is a kind of a special spot we're in. You know, Star Wars had ended. It was in 87, 88. I mean, Star Wars was over. There wasn't no talk about Star Wars prequels. I mean, just like the spinoff Ewok movies and, you know, the animation shows, they were done. They even stopped with the toy line production. I mean, all the extended universe stuff, legend stuff, that wasn't until like early 90s, I believe. So I don't know. I mean, this is kind of like an interesting part of I feel like history because it's, you know, it was, you know, Star Wars was just really, there was nothing really going on. It was really quiet. And it's nice to kind of know that there was a nice little, in Japan, there was, you know, just a still love for George Lucas and we appreciate it.
And I think just even watching these commercials and seeing, you know, the quality that they were at that time and to see, you know, we're watching Bad Batch today and The Acolyte and all these other new Star Wars shows to see where we are with technology and how George Lucas is just, like you said earlier, created this legacy and we're still experiencing Star Wars for the first time, you know, today with the technology that we have today.
Yeah.
And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. Just really cool. Really fun stuff. And I just think it's just a special, this is just like, I feel like maybe everyone should know about this time. This is just an interesting time.
And also we learned about mischievous Lucas and, you know.
Well, mischievous Lucas is a real George Lucas, but yeah, but
we'll never know. We'll never know.
But you know, we learned a lot and it's just made me appreciate George Lucas a little bit more than I, you know, I do. So it's been fun.
スターウォーズインディージョーンズルーカス映画がライブになって大阪城ホールにやってくる映画を超えたライブの迫力ルーカスヒーローたちが君を待っているさらにこのスーパーライブの舞台裏をスペシャルプログラムでオンエアスーパーライブアドベンチャー誕生の秘密が今明かされる
かなり期待してください
3月20日土曜日午後4時から放送これはもう見逃せない
スターウォーズの R2-D2 のこのこ R2-D2
かわいい
スターウォーズののこのこ R2-D2
And these last points, too accurate for sand people. Only Imperial stormtroopers are so precise.
folks, before we get to all the stuff that you've heard us say a million times before, yes, the playlist that all these commercials on are in this episode's show notes. So before you get done listening to this, before you do anything else this day that you're listening to this episode, pull up the show notes and watch all these commercials. They'll enhance your life, just like they did for all of us just now.
They're full of secrets and mysteries to discover.
And also, like, don't you just, it's like, yes, like, let's look at, let's watch art and let's try and interpret it. Let's think right. That's the best.
Yeah, because the key word is let's watch art, because these are the definition of art, all of them.
This is art. This is just art.
This is art.
You'll be surprised and entertained. You can surprise and entertain us by leaving a review on Apple Podcasts. Just 5 stars, write something nice, or just leave a 5-star review on Spotify. That's all you got to do there so more people can find Blast Points when they're looking for Star Wars podcasts.
And check out the website, blastpointspodcast.com, and make sure you're following us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook, and make sure you're part of the Super Chill group on Facebook.
And we got the Blast Points Army on Patreon, where we're doing Bad Batch review recap episodes. By the time this comes out, you'll probably have the episode all about the Harbinger, the Point of No Return, Identity Crisis, and we're going to keep doing those all the way up until the end for Bad Batch. And if you are a member of the Blast Points Army on Patreon, thank you so much for your support over there. And Silver and Miranda, thank you so much for this. This has been so fun. It always is. It's always so much fun talking to you both. Like you said, it's like we're back in that little screening room watching Bad Batch all over again. This is so much fun.
Yes, this has definitely been an experience for me. So thank you guys so much for letting Plus One Miranda be here today. This is a great, great time.
You're our number one plus one.
Oh, we love to hear that. Thank you.
And Silver, in case anyone doesn't know all about Star Wars thrifting, everything you got going on, what do folks need to know?
Yeah, you can follow me on Instagram and Star Wars at Star Wars Thrifting. I also co-host a podcast with my pal Riley at Into the Garbage Chute Podcast. You can find us there, all podcasting platforms. Come hang out. I love collecting. I love thrifting. I love Star Wars. Put those together. It's Star Wars Thrifting. And hang out with me on the weekends while we go to the flea markets and look for a Jar Jar alarm clock. So check me out.
Is that on the list of things we need to find?
I there is a specific Jar Jar Binks alarm clock that I really want. So I'm hoping I'm hoping I get it tomorrow.
Noted.
Or Miranda, you can get it for me. That'd be great too. But yeah, thank you all so much. Thanks again for having us. This is really fun.
It's been amazing, guys. Thank you.
No, thank you both so much. And yeah, that wraps up 396. So much fun.
Happy. Is that what we're supposed to say?
Happy.
Yeah, this is good.
This was so much fun, by the way. This, like, so much fun.
It's really fun.
Yeah, I had a blast.
Yeah. Blast at Blast Points.
Blast at Blast Points.
That's why we're here.
Yeah.
May the force be with you.